Yeah, 62 is the wake-up temperature this morning as we bring in our friend Jason Cans. Good morning.
Good morning.
Not going with our usual music right away because I'm going to go with the Jeopardy music. Alex Trebek passing away at the age of 80, pancreatic cancer. He put up quite a fight. It would have been 2 years in February, and he wanted to get to 2 years. You know, he hosted 11 game shows before he hosted Jeopardy?
I did not know that. Jeopardy was always my favorite game show, but I had no idea that he had done that beforehand.
Yeah, native Canadian.
Huh. I also did not know that.
You were it didn't surprise me at all. It just kind of came to me. I'm like, hey, in honor of him, I said on Facebook, how about what are the three categories that you'd fare best in answering questions on Jeopardy? Or at least somebody corrected me. You didn't answer questions. I guess you kind of answered in the form of a question. But
right.
You were the first one to step in on that. What would be your categories?
Well, I said Larry Crabb, interpersonal neurobiology. And I think I surprised you by saying Tommy Boy, which was a Chris Farley movie.
Yes, I've seen it years ago. Yeah,
I'm not exaggerating. I think I have seen it between 85 and 90 times.
Wow.
At this point. So, yeah.
I knew you did repeat listening and watching and reading of things, but I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, I have much of the movie memorized.
Wow.
And I'm quite grateful that my son, Ian, loves the movie almost as much as I do. So,
Tommy Boy. The deer in the back seat, that's a classic part.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many great one-liners in there, and the interaction between Chris Farley and David Spade, they just had a lot of fun chemistry between each other. So,
I have had people tell me I look like David Spade.
I had people tell me I look like Chris Farley.
Oh, that's funny.
Maybe in a different time, anyway.
Yeah. Both past members of SNL, Chris Farley from the Madison area. One of those comic geniuses who left us way too early, right?
He was. There seems to be a long list of overweight comedians who left early. John Candy and John Belushi and Chris Farley. And so, yeah.
I don't know. John Candy, he was probably at least in his 40s, I think. But, yeah.
Yeah, he was older.
Freddie Prinze, too. I go back to high school, and Freddie Prinze was on Chico and the Man with Jack Albertson. And that one, you may have been a little young, but anyhow, that one, he was talented as well.
Yeah.
Well, over the weekend, certainly what happened politically, and that's going on. I thought it was interesting and noted that Hugh Hewitt on our sister station, FM 103.1 AM 680 and wogo.com, noted conservative, but saying he thought that politically we should acknowledge President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris. At the same time, he said, and I think, you know, certainly President Trump and his team have at it in terms of pursuing litigation and wherever pursuing whatever wrongs. They can go do that. But in the meantime, you know, I guess you have to march on still. So.
Yeah, you know, and I think that we're seeing that with a lot of folks that are there seems to still be this pretty big divide. Former President Bush acknowledging.
He did. Yesterday.
Biden. Yeah. So, you know, and I just watched a clip on 60 Minutes this morning of the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania is receiving death threats. And I was thinking that
who's a Republican. It's a Republican Secretary of State.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that does not only to me, it doesn't feel like who we are as believers, but it doesn't feel like who we should be as Americans. And for me, I agree with what you just said. You know, if there are legitimate claims, follow them up. I absolutely agree. But when we continue to stir divisiveness, we've lost our way.
So here's what we're going to try to do. I mean, it's just our little 5 or 6 minutes together in the morning. I guess I get a little longer, and you're a neuropsychologist at Marshfield Clinic. But there was a Mitch Albom column. He wrote it before. He's one of my favorite writers. He is a great writer. Tuesdays with Maury made me cry on my third reading. And so he had a column about before the election, but he talked about who we elect this past Tuesday isn't going to matter if we don't, that it comes down to us. And I loved how even-handed and fair he was, because I found too many of the Trump bashers and critics, and certainly there's things you could put on President Trump, but I think you leave out, what about on the Democratic side? And there are plenty of instances. And in the media, not just Fox News, but on CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post and New York Times. And Mitch Albom was in the position to be as fair and centrist and an umpire on that as possible. And I guess I was just struck, and we sort of bantered about it, you and I, on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like, let's start our own kindness revolution. So what I'm proposing is that we at least touch on kindness today, the first of 40 straight broadcast days. I'm not counting the weekend, but that's 8 weeks. And every single time for 40 straight days when we do that, we're going to start with Josh Wilson's revolutionary, because we want to not wait until 2021, but right now we want to pray that God helps us start a spark of a revolution of kindness. You get the last word.
Yeah, I had posted over the weekend, Make America Kind Again, and I mm-hmm. think that that is one of the things that I think can most heal us as a people, is to get back to that. And I thought our banter was good back and forth, raised some legit questions, but really it comes back to that, becoming people who are kind, loving, and other-centered.
There you go. So we're going to do it 40 straight days of mentioning kindness in some way, shape, or form, and starting off musically with Josh Wilson's Revolutionary. Let's make it happen. Jason, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. We're checking in with our counselor, comedian friend. I get counselor first, counselor comedian Drew Fralick. Multi-talented. He writes columns. He fills pulpits. He does radio segments. Drew Fralick in Michigan, good morning.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm going to change music here because Alex Trebek passing away at the age of 80 yesterday. Canadian-born, but longtime game show host. Our fact of the morning, surprising people, he actually, before hosting Jeopardy very successfully, a very long run, he actually hosted 11 other game shows, 11, before he became the host of Jeopardy. Yeah, that's kind of something, huh? So my question for you, I threw this out on Facebook yesterday. Can you give me three categories that you would have fared the best in, that you would have lit up if you were a Jeopardy contestant and saw that come up as a category?
Well, I got this question. It's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's a great question, and I was having a bit of trouble answering it. So I go and I ask my wife, and I go, what do you think would be the three categories I'd be best at? And I was like, Chinese culture. I lived in China for 11 years. A lot of your listeners know that. Uh-huh. I'm like, I got that.
Yeah.
I got that. That's so good. And then I'm like, okay, I need two more. And I'm like, we're like going back and forth. And I'm like, what about things my wife said? She's like, no, you'd be terrible at that one. That'd be like the worst category.
Yeah, right.
She's like taking out the trash for 300. You'd never get that one.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah, those domestic but subjects.
I feel like realistically, does this even count? But we have a 5-year-old in the house. I feel like I know every Dr. Seuss book that's been published.
Yeah, no, that's a great category. Dr. Seuss would be a great and fun cat. That's a good one. I hadn't thought of that.
Like things that rhyme mm-hmm. with fox and fox.
That's good. That's good.
Like. And the third one, I really had a difficult time coming up with a third one. I was thinking, what, like crotchety old psychiatrists from the mid, 20th
You have a lot
century?
Of... Comedy, related to comedy. Nobody's asked me yet. I asked the question. I didn't put mine on. Like, nobody really. And then, so I'm going to share here. I would say sports, like 1970s sports. I mean, I was a huge mm-hmm. sports fanatic, and my memory is better for the 70s. Or I could go baseball, football, basketball. I think I mm-hmm. could say politics probably is be an area. And then when I say Christianity and the Bible, but then there's other things that you get into church history, maybe I'm not going to fare quite as well on. So, yeah, those are
right.
probably so.
Okay.
Hey, you were in the
Milwaukee
pulpit.
Brewers in the 70s. You know all the players?
Yeah, Johnny Briggs, Dave May. Yeah, some of the players back then. But a lot of fond memories going to Brewers games at County Stadium. Hey, before our time runs out, though, you were in the pulpit yesterday, and I caught a little bit of it on Facebook Live. And at the end, I want you to tell people where they could find it. But I don't know, you have a presence about you. I mean, from the first time I met you in North Carolina at the Larry Crabb School of Spiritual Direction, your answer was different to the question we were all answering that night. And I just knew, like, this is, but what about when you take to the pulpit? That's not your regular gig. So What do you try to keep in mind when you share a message, being a comedian? I mean, you got an audience in front of you, and do you have to fight back an urge to just kind of light it up as a comedian?
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm the fill-in for our pastor, you know, and there is that urge, but it's like, it's a fine balance. Like, people want me to do that. They want to hear some, like, jokes and, like, fun stories, which
because
I
people
do.
People love to laugh.
Yes, and so I try to take stories from the Bible and kind of make them come alive a bit, relate them to, you know, real life now, and it's good. So if people want to check it out, there's actually several of my sermons. It's on drewfralick.com if you go to the blog. The one from yesterday is right at the very top. It's on the importance of community when we read the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
So
yeah,
and you so check that out.
That's two different – like you actually have that posted as a column, but then that is that also your sermon then or what?
That's – I've adjusted it a little bit, but yeah, that's essentially my sermon, yeah. There was some adjustments, but this is more of a written version.
All right. And so, see, we could just go on and on with this, and I've already gone 5 minutes. But so humor in the pulpit. Finally, what's your advice to pastors in terms of using humor as a tool to continue to keep the interest of their hearers?
I think just tell stories from your own life. People want to hear a story about you, you know, and work that in. Work your own narrative into what you're preaching about.
And self-deprecation is always funny, right?
When
you make fun of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And being able to laugh at yourself.
That's right.
Terrific. Drew, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Mark.
Weekend recap here on the WIB Wake Up Show. I got two things to bring to the table this morning, Caleb.
All right.
I'm going to start with ladies first, my wife's highlight. I think a highlight for my wife that lifted her spirits. She was out. We were getting ready. Michael's birthday was Sunday.
Awesome.
So that was certainly, that wasn't even what I was going to say. But that was a big highlight. And we had a lot of fun for his birthday.
Turning 16, right?
He's 16. Yes, indeed. And but my wife was out, you know, doing the final birthday shopping. And along the way, she noticed, you know, people trying to compete with Amazon, different stores, they're saying, hey, we can't just have Black Friday. We need to have Black Friday month.
Yeah.
So that's been going on. She found a great deal on something she didn't even know she was looking for, an air fryer oven.
Whoa.
And for, I'll just say, $50, she was able to, and it got used over the weekend.
Awesome.
So breaded mushrooms to broccoli, and she was very excited about that opportunity. Meanwhile, besides Michael's birthday on Sunday and a great family time, I would say a Saturday walk with Elena. I mean, the weather just so good.
Yeah.
And we did talk about golfing. I did talk about it. But then in the end, we basically covered the course, the terrain of the usual Apple Walk for Life. That was virtual this year. We covered it from Owen Park to the restaurant, the that I forget the exact name here, but they got the big novelties, they call them. And they're like dilly bars, but they're novelties.
Yeah.
And so she got a big ice cream treat. We had a great father-daughter time.
So. All right. Well, I don't know. I'm going to see. I actually gave myself some notes so I could remember everything that happened on Saturday morning into Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
Have you ever read those books, kids' books, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie or If You Give
sure.
a Moose a Muffin?
Oh, yeah.
So it's
great
like,
stuff.
If you give a mouse a
those
cookie, he'll want a glass of milk. Mm-hmm. And it goes on. One thing leads to another. That was kind of how Saturday morning went. So Friday night, driving back, I realized I had a burned-out headlight.
Uh-huh.
Not terribly difficult to pop that out, but I just wanted to do it in the non-darkness, do it in the light. So on Saturday, I'm like, well, I'm going to go for a walk here, but first I'm going to take care of that headlight. So I pop it out, realize, hey, the headlight was actually broken off inside there. So there's glass inside the headlight assembly, which our friend Dave here at the station told me, he's like, no, it's just going to keep breaking and breaking if you have glass bouncing around in there. So I'd learned from before to get all of that glass sucked out of the headlight assembly. So broken headlight, going to get the vacuum cleaner. My wife says, I'd really rather you not be sucking glass into my nice household vacuum.
Uh-huh.
Could you use the shop vac?
Sure.
So I go out to get the shop vac. In the garage, found some deceased mice in the traps and realized I hadn't checked them for a while in the garage or in the basement. Took care of that, then realized, hey, you probably need to rebait all of those traps, genius. Went back to the garage to get the shop vac. But then Cooper, who was playing outside, said he had thrown his Mario hat up on the roof. If you're familiar with Mario, Mario will toss his hat in the air in jubilation. Well, Cooper did that and threw it up on the roof.
Uh-huh.
So I got the ladder and went to retrieve Cooper's hat. Well, up there, I realized that the gutters were full of leaves and I had not cleaned them out. So I cleaned out all the gutters, not just those ones, all the gutters all around the house. Finally got back to the shop vac and sat down and went in and vacuumed out the broken piece of glass from the headlight assembly. Realized that the car was incredibly dirty from having multiple children in it, eating snacks all the time that grandma gives them. Appreciate grandma. But they're very messy, and it's amazing how much you can find under a car seat. So I'd been putting off vacuuming out the cars because I'm very kind of detail-oriented, and it takes a long time. But I thoroughly vacuumed out both
Did you find
vehicles.
A Twix bar, though?
I did it this time.
Okay.
I cleaned out the garbage and loose toys while I was doing that, vacuum up both vehicles. We're almost done here. Finally finished up that job and put the shop vac away. While putting the shop vac away, I noticed the ladder again, and on a shelf nearby, what? The Christmas lights. I also realized that you don't normally get 70-plus degree days in November.
Yes.
And usually when you're putting up Christmas lights, you have to do it without gloves. Your fingers freeze. It's darkness. It's not real fun. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to drag the ladder back out, put Christmas lights up. Took the better part of 2 hours. Finally, I head back inside after all of those tasks to task task.
Yes.
And I told my wife how all of this had gone on. I was like, I did this, and then I noticed this, and then I did this. And she said, hey, welcome to being a mom.
Ah, yes. Exactly.
There's always something to do. So moms and dads, as you go through that busyness of today, we're with you. WWIB, we are family.
WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show, and time for the Monday Mailbag. Ask us anything, welcoming your questions. You can still sneak one in here at 715-396-1670. Also, a Make Us Laugh Monday.
Here's a question that came in via our voicemail line at 715-396-1670.
So my question today is, given the recent political events and the unclear election, I guess we'll word it as, overall, do you think that all of us praying to God to not give up on our nation, do you think that it's too late? Do you think that God is washing his hands of us thanks to the million abortions here and the wedlock communities and culture that we have and every other sin-filled task that we decide to stuff into our lives? Do you think that God's hand is still on us, or do you think that he's just washed his hands of us? Do you think it's too late? Thanks, guys. Love your show. Love your station. And God bless you.
All right. Thank you so much for the question. We'll throw it over to you, Halvo. And an homage to one of the greatest game show host and just such a gracious man to Alex Trebek passing away.
Yeah, that's right. At the age of 80, nearly a 2-year battle with pancreatic cancer. It would have been 2 years in February. That was his goal to get there, but didn't quite reach it. Said he hosted like 11 game shows before he landed on Jeopardy, but that'll be what he's remembered for. Hey, in answer, thank you so much for the question at 396-1670. Over the weekend, part of me, I was listening to N.T. Wright's God and the Pandemic, which has been highly recommended to me. And he touches on that even, you know, we have a tendency to want to size up, well, what's the Lord doing because of this current event or that current event? And Wright, I think rightly, no pun intended, points us toward the cross and said, that's the most significant event. We're this side of the cross. We're this side of the resurrection. So much more than any current event ever, earthquake, political event, look to the cross. And I just give it a little scriptural backing in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Verse 2. But now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. So God has promised everything to the son as an inheritance. And through the son, he made the universe and everything. And so I think looking to the son, looking to the cross, looking to the resurrection. I know we can get caught up in the tyranny of the moment, but step back, take a broader view.
It's like the song that we'll be playing not too long for Christmas, but it's true all throughout the year. That song from Go Fish, it's about the cross. It's about the cross.
Yes.
So look to the cross. Scripture, all throughout Scripture, it points to the cross. And as we look at these events, and it's like a roller coaster up and down. I was actually just reading recently in 2 Peter, and he says, remember, my brothers, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, you know, as some would understand it, because to the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. And Scripture tells us God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so our hope is still strong, even if things are in a bit of despair, and maybe a mountain peak is coming soon as well, too. But we know where our faith lies.
All right, Make Us Laugh Monday, WWIB. Caleb, you start us off.
All right, how about this one? I like telling dad jokes. Sometimes he laughs.
There you go. What's an astronaut's favorite part of a computer?
I don't know.
It's the space bar.
That's pretty good. Hey, I've got another one. I used to hate facial hair, but then it grew on me.
Oh, man.
Quick interruption here. Speaking of facial hair, I had something happen to me at the gas station on Friday. Because, again, like, I've been working on this all throughout the month of October. Don't know how long I'll be allowed to keep it. But anyway, for right now, my wife is being gracious and allowing me to keep this beard. And so it kind of grows down your neck a little bit. You've seen the neck beard. And
sure.
Yeah, so, and I'm not, I don't really have beards very often. So I'm not real great at trimming it. Anyway, so got my mask on, got my beard and neck beard and such. And I'm going into the gas station and I'm getting ready to pay. And the cashier, she says, "You have a bee on your neck." I'm like, wow, what? Am I being pranked here? I can't feel anything.
Huh.
She's like, no, there's a bee. Just at that point, I start feeling the creepy crawling of little feet moving from my neck beard down my neck. And she's like, I'll come use this pen to get it off. And so she's like, it's like a delicate surgery, like playing operation. And she's using a pen to try and shoo it off
me. I'm a live person in a store.
And I'm like, and she's like, "Don't, no, no problem. Bees are my friends." I'm like, I sure hope they are because I don't want to get stung in the throat. Thankfully, she did shoo it away successfully. And I was like, now it's in your store. She's like, no problem. I like bees. I'm like,
wow.
I like bees when they are not on me. Yeah, the disadvantages of having beard and neck beard is that apparently you can't feel stinging insects when they are crawling.
But you had the good fortune of finding a clerk who said, "Bees are my friends."
Indeed, yeah.
Wow.
Very
that is
good.
Quite the story. You've had a couple of them here this morning already. Hey, I don't play soccer because I enjoy the sport. Nah, I just do it for kicks.
I decided to sell my vacuum cleaner because it was gathering dust.
Hey, why are elevators so classic and good?
I don't know.
They work on many levels.
Hey, I had a neck brace fitted years ago, and I've never looked back since.
There you go. What do you call a fake noodle?
I don't know.
An impasta.
Okay,
yes.
No, I guess
you saw
one.
Where that was coming.
And one more here on a Make Us Laugh Monday. You know, people say they pick their nose, but I feel like I was just born with mine.
There you go.
The dad jokes continue on a Make Us Laugh Monday. Well, Mark Schultz coming live in concert this Sunday evening to Northern Lakes Church in Cumberland. And we have the man himself, Mark Schultz, on the line with Caleb and Mark on the WIB Wake Up Show. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good morning.
Absolutely. And I think, we should start off with rapid fire. Mm-hmm. Mark, this is a game that we love playing at the beginning of interviews. So we put 60 seconds on a clock, and we try and ask you as many short, easy-to-answer, get-to-know-you questions as possible. Are you game for that?
I just have barely had my coffee, so this is, yes, I'm going to try my best.
We'll see what we can do. All right, rapid fire with Mark Schultz. Here we go. Mark, what's your favorite place to vacation?
Europe.
Have you ever had a nickname? If so, what was it?
I think I was Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch in high school.
There you go. Big question here. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
I don't think so. I sure don't.
We are in Wisconsin. What's your favorite type of cheese?
Oh, just the squeaky stuff they sell in a sack up there.
There you go, the curds. Have you ever cried during a movie?
I'm afraid to say I might have.
Parallel park or drive around the block?
Oh, parallel park for sure.
What's the best kind of chips?
Anything with salsa.
If you had a day off, what's the first thing you'd do?
Hang out with my wife.
Bowl of ice cream, you can choose three toppings. What three do you choose?
Whipped cream, cherry, and some chocolate sauce.
There you go. That's how it's done. He hasn't even had his coffee yet. Mark Schultz, rapid fire here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Great job.
I kind of lied on the pizza. I'd go ahead and take some pineapple on there, but I was forced to make a quick decision.
It's difficult when you're on the spot like that.
Mark, I remember interviewing you on a couple of different occasions. One was years ago at a Promise Keepers in the Twin Cities. It's been a number of years. And then another time, I'm trying to think if it was when you were... You had an extended stay in Italy, and we either talked to you from Italy or you'd just gotten back from there. But do you remember that was, how long had you been in? Because you said Europe is a favorite place to travel to. So.
It is. My wife has an Italian citizenship, and so she has family over there. So we go over there from time to time. But, yeah, I remember doing an interview from there with you. And then, yeah, the Promise Keepers event at the – I think it was at the Staples Center at the time.
Yeah.
Up there. And, man, it was phenomenal. So, yeah, I just love that area.
Well, we asked the listeners this morning, Mark, what question they would like to have us ask you. So this is one from Cody here from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And he says, have you ever met anyone who did not believe in Jesus and wanted to prove that he did not exist? And how did you respond?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was a youth director for about 8 years. And so even within the youth group, you've got kids that aren't sure, you know, that are coming with other friends. And you know what? I think what we learned mostly, and I learned this from my mentor, who was the youth minister at the time, and I was the youth director. And he said, "Hey, listen, you can try to talk people into whatever, but the best way is to by showing by your actions who Jesus is, and just by the virtue of you being Christ to other people, that is your best way to convince somebody of Jesus and God's goodness is by being Christ yourself, not by saying, hey, if you let's get in a room and I'm going to show you all the reasons you need to believe. They just need to see the fruit of who you are to experience that, to go, oh, there's something different about this person. I wonder what that is, and make them curious about what you're into.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Good idea. Mark Schultz with us here, WWIB in concert Sunday night at 6, Northern Lakes Church in Cumberland. So, Mark, I see that you just celebrated a milestone birthday in September. How'd you handle that?
You know what? It's so funny. I don't even notice birthdays anymore. I've got four kids. They're 8, 6, 4, and 2. And we adopted our four-year-old is from China. Mm. And then our two-year-old, which, if you can believe this is so great. I was adopted when I was 2 weeks old. From Kansas, from an adoption agency in Topeka, Kansas. And for our last child that we brought into our family, we went back to Kansas, to Topeka, to the same adoption agency that I came from, and we adopted her, and her birthday's tomorrow. So,
wow.
My focus is really on the kids. So I can't even remember sometimes. Some people say, hey, happy birthday. And I was like, is that today? Man, I didn't even remember.
Mark, you're coming to Northern Lakes Church in Cumberland this Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. What can folks expect from that tour, from that concert? I know it's been a long time since we've had live music in the area now.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get out and play. It's what I love to do. I mean, I've been doing some things in my garage where I'll Facebook live doing concerts from the garage, and people are loving it because they're just like, oh, we just want to hear music again. And so for me, for anybody who's ever seen my shows, it'll be a lot of my hits. It'll be some new songs that I'm putting out and that I'm working on now. The stories behind those songs, with people always love the stories. And then some worship for people to sing along to. And you know, my whole thing at the end of a show, when people walk in, nobody knows each other. Very few people, you know each other really well. But my thing is, by the time they leave that place, they feel like they've worshiped, like they've been touched, they've been moved, and they feel like a part of a community when they leave.
That's fantastic. I got to say, my favorite movies and even sermons are when people can bring me to laughter and tears. Humor and truth is great. And you're such a great storyteller in song. We're going to ask you to intro a song we're going to get to. It was your debut single, He's My Son. A listener has requested that, Vicky in Eau Claire. Can you set that one up for us here?
Sure enough. When I was a youth director, I was on a mission trip with a group of seventh graders. When we came home a few days later, I got a call from a dad, and he said, hey, my son's at the hospital. He's not feeling well. And he said, can you come down? He just wants to hang out. He wants somebody from the youth group. So I came down with him. And the doctor came in. And I heard the doctor say, the good news is there's nothing wrong. His hand was really, really hurting. And they said, the good news is there's nothing wrong with Martin's hand. The bad news is we've done tests and found out that he's got cancer. And luckily he came in for this. And so for the next year and a half, 3 years actually, I walked through life with a family who didn't know if they were going to get to keep their son or not.
Mm-hmm.
And every night, John, his dad, would walk into his room, and he would, when his son was sleeping, and he would tell me, he would just say a prayer over his son. See, now I'm crying at my own song. he said he would pray over his son. God, this is my son. he's just a little, he's only seven, he's in the seventh grade, he's only 14 years old. If you're going to take somebody, take me. Mm. I've lived a lot of life, but he, please don't take my son. And a few months later, I was sitting down at the piano, and this song just wrote itself. And people everywhere I go will say, hey, he's my son. I feel like you wrote that for my family, for my son, for my daughter. And I say, I believe that's true because I just sat down. I just came out one day, and I think God dropped it in my lap, not for me, but for the folks that he was trying to talk to through that song.
Wonderful. Amen. And Mark, do folks have a good chance of hearing He's My Son if they come see in Cumberland this Sunday evening?
They do now.
All right. There we go. Mark Schulz, thank you so much for the time and looking forward to, again, having real live music. God bless you and thank you for the time. And I know it's going to minister to a lot of people this Sunday.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mark.